Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley, and of course, in Mercury retrograde fashion, we had a little snafu with connecting. Hopefully, Heather will be joining me shortly on air because we couldn't manage to get the internet to work right. And what we do here on Access Astrology is we talk a little bit about who we are and where we are and what we're doing. So our job tonight is to kind of talk to you about the directions that we're heading in and how we're going there. So we will talk to you about the energy in the sky, what it feels like, and also a little bit of shameless self-promotion. We are having a lovely, we were planning on the phone, the course for this weekend coming up in 2 weeks on the 7th, 8th, and 9th. And we are going to be teaching you how to do chart reading and chart interpretation. So feel free to sign up. We still have a few days left at the early bird price. And we encourage you to come because we're going to talk a lot about how to get there, how to work on stuff, and what energy really works from the point of view of how to do things. And so chart reading A to Z, it's on my website, Heather's, and it's also on Mark's. And you can also find it on EventZilla. Chart reading A to Z is the URL for it. And so what we're going to talk about today, I don't see Heather yet. Hopefully she's calling in. Heather, call in. At any rate, forward. What we're going to do this week is a busy week. One more Mercury's shadow, so communications are crazy. And here in New York, we are having the Super Bowl, which is stopping traffic all over the city, everywhere we go. And so it's very craziness. So our job with that is to understand that we're in this major training time with Mercury stationing and turning direct. And so our job with that happening is to know that there's a lot of communication stuff that's a little wild and crazy that's tied to changes in the structure of our reality and the structure of our being. And so we also often have a major shift in things as part of that story. So when we see that, we know with the Mercury coming into its shadow, and also this week on Friday, he's going to be changing signs into Pisces. We're going to go from an air Mercury into a water Mercury. And, of course, think of it as driving off the diving board on a really hot day into the pool. Major shift and change. And I see Heather has joined us. And Heather,
yes,
you introduce yourself from where you're broadcasting.
This is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from Minnesota and St. Paul on the banks of the Mississippi. And I'll be in New York next week, which I'm so excited about.
Yeah, it's really cool. So anyway, we had a little technical difficulty with him, Mercury retrograde, so I was like, call in, I got to get into it. And Mark will not be joining us because he's got a little sore throat and kind of feeling a bit under the weather. So Heather, tell us what you see in the week ahead. All Mercury retrograde, all right, yes.
Well, it's interesting that Venus turns forward just as Mercury retrogrades.
Mm-hmm.
And Mercury will be, and this will be an interesting Mercury retrograde because it's going to back up conjunct Neptune and hang out there for a while. So
really,
it's a wonderful time to be in touch with your intuition, imagination. And Mercury will back up and conjunct Neptune right around our workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be doing a very intuitive, experiential, but also quite cerebral, because astrology is cerebral, approach to astrology when we do our workshop this weekend. Anne, would you like to tell people about our workshop in case they'd like to join
us? I did shameless self-promotion before you tuned in. Shameless self-promotion, that it's a workshop on experiential chart reading and chart reading A to Z, and that they can find how to register, and that the early bird special ends on the 31st. But it'll be a lot of fun, and we're going to really learn a lot of really cool stuff. So we were planning it, and that was why, the phone didn't. I didn't sign us in. I was paying attention to the planning. But yes, you can
Friday
register
night,
on my site.
Saturday
they can register
all day,
on your site.
Sunday all day. Mm-hmm.
Sunday all day, right? Friday night, and it also will give you plenty of skills to take away and to think about looking at charts kind of holistically, as well as the process that you undertake, because part of the gift of astrology is you tend to pull in people that are working on the same things you're working on, mm-hmm. and you also tend to pull in you know, the stuff that you've worked on, you get to teach. So it's also looking, when you're looking at your clients, how to assess them for what your particular chart is going to give you. So it's really, I think it'll be really a lot of fun, and we're still kind
me
of,
too. And I think
we have three.
One of the things about self-taught astrology is that people tend, I describe it like studying the parts of a quilt, that you know each part of that quilt beautifully. But it takes experience in astrology, and it's in workshops like this really help to learn how to put all those pieces together to create one quilt, one blanket.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so looking
and
at the overall,
and you should walk away feeling, yeah, I think your people are going to walk away feeling very confident with the kinds of stuff they know. And also a lot of times I find with my students, a lot of times it's like, well, what if they ask me a question I don't know? And it's about how to work with the chart intuitively as well as psychically to get the information. Because the chart is a mandala speaking to us, and it actually talks about the person's problems. So you can always find them in the chart if you know where to look, or find their question in the chart if you know where to look. So it's a beautiful gift, this astrology that we have. So, yeah, and this week with the Jupiter-Pluto opposition takes us back to December of 2007, when Pluto and Jupiter last joined in late Sag, at 28 Sag. And, of course, that was Christmas, and that was when Bernie Madoff, well, when we found out that he made off with all the money, no pun on his name, Bernie Madoff made off with it. And it also was the beginning of the economic debacle, you know, where we kind of had everything seem like it was collapsing and falling apart. And, I mean, actually it did collapse and fall apart for quite a few people, but we're also now at the opposition of it. So we can expect Bernie in the news this week, and we also can look at it from the point, or his family, and we also can look at it from the point of view of what were you doing back in December of 2007, because that story is culminating now. It wants to come to a new level, and it wants to shift into something else. So... Heather, want to add on the Jupiter-Pluto
opposition?
In general,
the review this week, the last Venus retrograde for many weeks now, has been taking us back both to 2007 and a review of wherever our heart has been. Now, and Venus retrogrades all the way back to conjunct Pluto within a degree, and then it turns direct, staying in that one place, conjunct Pluto, for many days before it turns forward. Now that Venus retrograde conjunct Pluto has brought so much of the past together with us. And so many people have chosen to leave the Earth right now. There's a lot of older people, from Pete Seeger, I know, Steve Gaskin, who helped start the farm, one of the great hippie farms. I know... So many, I spent the weekend with an elder up on the reservation up in North Dakota who had just had bad news about their health. There's so much, so many, it's a turning point. But all the people that I'm seeing leaving now are leaving with a lot of love around them. It's Venus is conjuncting Pluto. So when you have a conjunction, it's a two-way dance. Pluto is is affecting Venus. So people are losing people they love, or remembering people who have lost, or remembering what has caused, what changed their heart's priorities once upon a time and sent them deeper into their heart. At the same time, Venus is Venusing Pluto. There's a lot of love through that transition. If we look for it, if we tune into it, if we feel it, there's a lot of love surrounding the people that I'm seeing leaving at this moment.
Right.
It also brings extra emotional charge to the political hotspots like Kiev, and that we feel that charge of energy around it. But I tell you what, I would not want to be an Olympiad this time. You know, you know, Mercury is turning retrograde just as the Olympics begin, and... It's a time when we'll be worrying about losing or letting go. Mercury will be in Pisces, leaving people all kind of emotional and mushy. Just as the Olympics begin, it's not going to be an easy time to be an Olympian.
No, and I think there's going to be a lot of upsets, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think there'll be a lot of upsets.
Jupiter, I think you've got a very good point there. There's going to be a lot of unexpected wins and unexpected losses. And Jupiter,
well, especially with the Mercury
Pluto.
Retrograde in the middle of it, you know, that Mercury, of course, rules, you know, the Olympics were the Olympians, you know, they literally were, the gods had these games, so Jupiter and Pluto having a fight in the sky, even though, you know, they were brothers, but you know how it is when siblings fight, so there's this whole longer story that's undergoing, and also a little bit of political political sub-drama. You know, we're certainly seeing it in, you know, in the news and in the world. But I also find a lot of times when we have transits or aspects like this that, you know, it's about looking at the kinder space, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, my dad's been sick and fell and hurt himself and Peggy fell on him, actually. And so, you know, I got on the email and I, in my Virgo fashion, I wrote my uncle, who my dad knows, my uncle since he was five, because my parents met in high school. And I said, you know, just like giving you a heads up, you know, dad's not doing great, and blah, blah, blah. Neil got in the car, drove from Missouri down to Florida, hung out for the weekend with his sister and my dad and Peggy. And then my sister was in the area. So it was kind of like, you know, and so I got this lovely note from him, you know, talking about the weekend. And you know, that opportunity in the midst of this time is really taking time to focus on the heart centers, because we forget.
Exactly.
We forget the heart. And our job is to kind of go, you know, what's really important? And he kind of got, you know, in the, I mean, I sent a note saying, just wanted to give you a heads up. He's like, next day he was in the car. And it's understanding that there's this opportunity with these energies that we realize we don't have all that much time. You know, we have time, but we don't have time. And so really making sure that in this next couple weeks, as Venus shifts, as the Jupiter-Pluto aspect happens, as Mercury goes into Pisces, that we spend time in the ways that we can supporting and helping those we love, and that's the important thing. Like kind of going, yes, it's busy, because these are a lot of aspects, so they're very turbulent, but it's also what's really important. And I think if we can focus on that, that helps us focus in. And when we were talking earlier, Heather, and we were planning the weekend, you know, it was like, okay, we can do this. We can, you know, it was kind of like, no, we want them to focus in, you know. And it's like, yeah, it's about focusing on what's truly important.
What's
your true heart
center?
And Mercury in Pisces is intuitively going to whisper in your ear, this is important. Pay attention. And then, of course, he's going to jump up in the air after he goes retrograde, because he's retrograde in Pisces, and then he jumps up into the air again. And then he jumps back into the water again, you know. So, you know, this intellectual and emotional balance. And so much of the time we focus on, you know, the intellectual, the process, the doing, busy. And, you know, this is an excellent weekend coming up this weekend, because Moon's in Pisces, and there's lovely aspects with the Moon to Saturn to say, okay, what's really important here? Where is my heart center as the Moon trines Saturn after Venus goes direct? And what, you know, because I know the clients I've had that have been talking about the relationships, hearing from old boyfriends or old girlfriends, or, you know, having these intense conversations with them, and then kind of going, do I want that? You know, I don't know that I want that. And that's totally cool. You might not. But it's understanding the universe is giving us an opportunity to reflect on what is important for us in relationship. So,
yeah,
really critical week for all of us in terms of our emotional, energetic bodies and what's important to us. So,
right. And turning forward with our hearts, after we finish this session as Venus begins to turn direct, at Mercury, Venus turns direct this weekend on the 1st and the 2nd, just in time for Groundhog Day. And Groundhog Day, February 2nd, is a traditional day of animal augury, a day to, and Mercury will be within 3 degrees of conjunct Neptune, so it's a great time to use your intuition. Now, the animal augury America knows is we ask the groundhog whether or not winter's going to continue. But I think it's a very good time to ask, to go out and ask the question of the world. Like, what do I need to understand my heart? Or what do I need to let people in more? And then look and see what animals you run into, or what do I need for my work? and see what animals, whether it's a pigeon or a squirrel, watch what they're doing. Let the universe speak to us through our dreams, through our imagination, and through the animals around us on February 2nd, on the halfway through winter mark this weekend.
Right, as even your home animals.
Yes,
you know, not just the not just the groundhog, but your cat and your dog and your yeah, because they're much more communicative. Because Candlemas was when there was a shift in the energy. Also, that happens this week on February 2nd, which is the cross quarter day. We're halfway through winter, and so there's a whole energy here around the winter days are now going to be getting smaller and smaller. Not quite equal yet, but definitely shifting.
Traditionally, this is when Persephone turned around and started walking back to the upper world.
Right.
And it's when many of the southwestern tribes would start sprouting the beans. It's the bean sprouting day. Sprouting the beans in the kivas, in the underground rooms, so they could bring them up and plant them when the ground thawed. So there's a beginning of spring. I've seen it in the potatoes and in my houseplants this week. There, even though it's been minus 12 outside and worse in North Dakota, I see the plants beginning to show signs of life for the springtime. So
they're they're feeling
feel that
it
coming in ourselves.
They're like, well, I can feel spring's coming. And let me tell you, with it's 10 below here in New York, I'm like, what were they thinking putting a Super Bowl game here? But whatever.
What were they thinking?
I don't know. I think they wanted to prove that they could do a Super Bowl above the 40th. What did they say? A Super Bowl above the 40th parallel? And they got themselves a nice cold weekend. But, well, hopefully it'll be better when it's actually happening. But when it was minus 10 the other day, I'm like, you know, it might not be a great idea. And they said Super Bowl ticket sales were actually a little low. Because the idea of sitting out in the freezing cold, you know, so whatever.
Mm-hmm.
All to the good. I'm always like, go home. Don't come to my city, you know. I mean, come and visit if I like you and you're a nice person. But, you know, really, you know, it's like we don't need the tourists. That's not what the city says, but that's what I say. So anyway, so let's look. We got a lot of people calling in. Oh, the other thing is it's Chinese New Year. You're the horse. So the new year this week is the year of the wood horse, which is horses are hard to tame. They gallop. I am a wood horse myself. This is my year. Every 12 years, the horses are related to the Jupiter cycle, so I'm hitting the big 6-0 sometime this year in September, but not too soon. But wood horse is hard to tame, and it's also very practical because it's wood. It's an earth energy. Mm-hmm. So it's practical, hard to tame, galloping year. And I don't know about the rest of you, but it feels like this year has taken off at a gallop.
Oh,
haven't sat down since. And that'll be the whole year. That's the theme of the year, galloping, galloping. So, and if you think about horses,
you
know,
a little bit of a break during the Mercury retrograde, we can take a deep breath because April's just off the charts.
April's off the charts, April's going to be craziness. Right. But it's about understanding what your desire is, you know, where you want to go with this stuff and what the vision is you have for yourselves and how to get there. So it's a very important time, and I would encourage you to really kind of take some time on the new moon, because it's a nice new moon. It's got a lot of power in it, even though, you know, it's got the Jupiter-Pluto opposition, which is a lot about seeing things and shifting your relationship to reality. And Jupiter and Pluto also have a great deal to do with your interconnection to your own understanding of relationships, because Jupiter rules relationships and Pluto rules power. So there's a lot of power dynamics that can show up this week in relationships, but your job is to kind of
see that in the politics.
Yeah, we do. I mean, they called Rachel Maddow a cheerleader, and she was kind of like shocked. She was like, "You're calling me a cheerleader?" You know, and it was kind of like you could tell her concept of herself was not that she was a cheerleader. And the guy was like, "Well, you know, how many?" And then he was like, "Yeah, yeah, you are a cheerleader." And she was like, "Really? Wow." And, you know, and it, very aggressive politics, which is part of Jupiter Pluto, real standoffish. And that's part of the energy of the week, too. Huh? Pardon?
And the world has changed when, you know, a dyke intellectual is called the cheerleader.
I know. A dyke intellectual is like 6'5" who goes, "You're calling me a cheerleader? Really?" You know?
I love it.
And then it's like, yeah, you are a cheerleader, you know.
First
And it was kind of like you could just see that she just kind of like, trying to wrap her brain around the concept of that really had her stumped, you know. She just, it, you know, and very few things stop Rachel, you know, but that one did. So, at any rate, forward, we'll take some calls from our listeners. So feel free to call and with your questions or comments or whatever. And let's see who's
What's
on
the call
line.
Number?
The call number is 347-215-8881, but we actually have four callers on the line already, so we'll
go with the first one.
Okay. And if you've called before, we may say to you, yeah, we got other people. We're going to hang up on you. 610-623, you're on the air. How can we help?
Hello, ladies. Good evening. It's an honor
Good
to be
evening.
With you
Good evening.
How
tonight. Are you?
I am doing excellent and cracking up at you guys as you talk about the Super Bowl and everything in New York. My name is Sahar, and my birthday is 3/20/1978, and I was born at 4:31 a.m.
Where?
And basically, I just wanted just
First of all,
a general.
Where were you born?
I'm sorry. I was born in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
So was I.
And what
did you say?
Well, the overall question was, well, just generally what's going on as far as my chart is concerned, but I have put together a meditation course, and I'm about to go and pitch it. So I just want to, you know, see what's going on as far as the timing and doing that and just really about to get out there. I'm in the process of like, overcoming and facing a lot of fears and walking through the fire, as they say.
But you're about, you know, you're a natural teacher. We see you as the last degree of Pisces, Aquarius rising with the Leo moon.
Yes.
And Uranus is trining your moon, bringing out your Leo. Your progressed moon is in Sagittarius, and in 4 months it hits your midheaven. It's a wonderful time to suddenly be dealing with the public.
Awesome.
Now, with Mercury heading retrograde, I would say don't start it in February, but if you can wait until the first week of March, you've got, you know, a lot of power behind this.
Okay, okay.
Right now, the Uranus trining the moon will help bring out your natural extroverted, the teacher side of you that really shows up when you're in service, because that moon in Leo is in the sixth house, and that's beautiful.
Thank you.
So you've got a whole year coming up, 2.5 years with your progressed moon in your house of career, moving through Sagittarius, a wonderful time to be a philosophical teacher.
Awesome.
So it's fabulous. Just don't start next month.
Excellent.
And
what
do you see on that?
I'm just confirming. I've got a different rising. What was the time of birth again?
4:31 a.m.
On March 2078?
Correct.
Okay. So I'm showing a Capricorn rising as a birth time. I got Eastern Standard.
You have Eastern Standard Time?
Mm-hmm. In Philly. Yeah.
Yep. So let me go check that again.
No, I did something. It just adjusted. Okay, now I'm happy. Because I'm like, I'm seeing the moon. I'm not getting the rising of Aquarius. Now you got 19 Aquarius rising. It was me, Heather. I've got this computer. Is like, this is Anne having computer excitement. Okay.
Mercury retrograde,
man. I keep looking at this Mercury retrograde. It's like, it's a mean one, man. It's right on my stuff. So I would agree with Heather on, I mean, I was following the planets, but I was like, I had the wrong rising sign, so I'd like to double check that. I would agree with the eclipse that you're going to have. You got a Venus-Pluto opposition in your chart that's getting very stimulated this year by the eclipse mid-April.
Very.
And it sets off a lot of your creative stuff. So for me, that would be like, okay, you know, when the node goes, the nodes are going to go backwards into your house of money, and they're in your house of money, and you're moving forward directions. So you've got a lot of energy around pulling in new directions and new work. And with Jupiter in Cancer in your fifth house of creativity, ruling your midheaven, this is an excellent time for creative projects. And I think once Jupiter gets to 20, which is in the spring, your work will really take off, because Jupiter through the sixth house tends to be a lot of work. And with ruling your midheaven
and
co-ruling you.
And Uranus is going to be conjunct your Venus. People are going to love you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People are going to love it. Okay. So it's really about knowing it, you know, it's how do I get it out there? How do I do this
right stuff?
And I would, you know, I mean, there's a lot, lot of stuff with churches. There's a lot of stuff with spiritual work.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of stuff with working with kids. I don't know if you're interested in doing it with kids. But you've
I've thought about it.
Yeah, because with the Jupiter on the midheaven is teaching them how to tune into their own thing, and you have a natural ability with that Jupiter in Gemini to kind of connect with a lot of people. You might even do a mother-daughter thing, you know, like a parental thing where they get to try, you know, they get to come and do it together, and then they learn how to do it, and you do a couple, you know, like a weekend course or weekday course, and people can come and try things. You got a great chart for that kind of stuff. With Jupiter ruling the 11th house.
I have one worry that it looks like your whole social circle is in transformation. Pluto going to the 11th house right now, and you're having to let go of a lot of old friends really weren't ready to move into this next place with you.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's right on. Oh,
and
God,
you
you're so right on.
You keep inviting them, but don't wait for them.
Yeah, I know.
And just wish them well, even if it's hard sometimes for them to wish you well, because you're going places not everybody's going to go.
Yeah.
But there's
new people
coming in to support
you. You're so right. It's definitely, I feel the shift, I feel the dissonance, and it's like my inners are telling me, it's okay, you just got to let it go. Let it go. There's going to be people that come in that are on your frequency that are going to see and you know, resonate with
you.
So just you're
also setting a beautiful example, and some of the people will take you up on it later.
Okay.
But can't do it now.
Okay.
So
don't start anything until March. Don't pitch it until the beginning of March.
Well, you can pitch it, but recognize that people may want to change it or control it. I would start pitching it. But I wouldn't expect any success until March. Like, you know,
don't get
discouraged if people go, well, you know, we don't really do that here. Or where else have you taught this? Or it'll take you a little while to find your words for it, too, right?
Yeah.
Because you know it's a good idea.
I was born for this.
Right.
Yes,
you
totally.
Were.
Yeah.
You
and so that piece, what I would do
so
is.
Go ahead.
No, I would agree. She is born to this. So definitely do it, but don't be discouraged if it doesn't happen immediately.
Right.
Okay, if it doesn't explode off the bat.
That you start lining up the talks now, but you don't do the talks until March begins.
That's fair.
So,
like actually find the locations where I want to do it, start promoting it and getting the building up, the getting everybody excited about it, and then boom, in March.
Exactly.
Kill it. We'll, you know, knock it out the park.
Mm-hmm.
Rather. Okay. Thank you, guys. You guys rock. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Good. Rock it. You're going to have fun. I think it's a great idea, and you've really got an excellent chart for doing it. And I would also look, is there a book underneath this, or is there, because there's a lot about writing in your chart, too. Or is there a book they're going to go away with, or some kind of handout?
I'm writing up. I think eventually, because I've kept stuff for my ears are getting hot. I've kept stuff for years, like since I was 15, I'm 35 now. So eventually, yes, I'm going to end up writing a book. I feel a book, I feel source, and I feel guided to eventually incorporate everything to write a book. I already know it's going to be called The Decision, and it's just about making the decision to live consciously. So,
okay. Right.
Yeah.
Beautifully.
So that may actually step up a little faster than you think.
Oh,
you
wow, really?
That may want to come up a little faster. Yeah.
Okay.
I think you might start off with something because with your Mercury, Venus, and Aries, you're good at producing something quickly. So maybe it's either a pamphlet or something they could download so that they've got a handout, so that they've got something to walk away with from the workshop.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. I can do that, too.
And that's a great thing to do with Mercury retrograde.
Okay, so do that now. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Yep.
Okay.
There you go.
Ladies.
All right, so off you go. Good luck with it.
Thank you.
So
much
we're signing
love to
off.
Y'all.
Yeah,
take care.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Good. We're signing off, and this is Ann Orley from New York signing off, my bright red desk, and Heather.
This is Heather Rowan Robbins from Minnesota. And you can reach both of us on our website. Mine's RowanRobbins.com. And Ann, what's yours?
Ann Ortley or AstroAnn.com.
Wonderful.
We'll see you all next week. Bye-bye.